Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast. In this episode, we take a 15-year whiskey-fueled look at Computex 2010 and an in-depth look at the latest Computex 2025. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Darren McKinnon.
Long-time listeners will know that it's that time of year, Dennis. It is show season.
Show season. I like that. That's good.
And show season, of course, means that Dennis is traveling. And sometimes I'm traveling too, to different trade shows where we hobnob with the manufacturers, the marketers, and just anyone involved with this interesting industry that we've become a part of.
And I have a bit of branding that inadvertently happened.
So
when I travel to go to shows at CES or Computex or wherever, I generally leave my house, I go to the airport, and I find a Pepsi.
Yes.
Because I'm a fan. I like Pepsi.
Right.
And I'll go and take a picture of the bottle and then, you know, thank the Boise Airport for still serving Pepsi.
Hallelujah.
But then the people that follow me on my Facebook page will say, hey, we'll see you at the show.
That's right, because they know.
They know that I'm coming.
The Pepsi's like the first sign of the Dennis Apocalypse or something.
I like that. That's actually pretty good.
So anyway, we have been doing these show recaps now for many years. In fact, we looked, and we've been doing this since 2003, Dennis.
Well, I've been going to Computex in 2003.
That's right.
My first trade show. Do you know which one that was?
I don't know. Were they banging rocks together?
Yes, they were at at Comdex, which is actually the very last Comdex.
Wow.
I know. History, right?
Kind of forgotten about that.
Yeah. Well, Comdex wasn't all that interesting. It was more about learning, and then there was a little bit of a trade show. Computex, on the other hand, was a show dedicated to Taiwan trying to sell things around the world. That's right. The way it started. So it was really just a sales opportunity. And as a media person, I was able to get in and kind of wander around and get in trouble for taking pictures, but I could meet with the manufacturers and allocate samples.
Yeah, great way to make contacts.
Mm-hmm. That was how I met DFI for the first time, Soltech.
Well, one thing that I like about the show that we don't talk about very often is Dennis tends to go to the Cavalon Distillery.
Oh, yes.
And we've mentioned this occasionally. And so to me, that's exciting because that means that sometimes he brings back something fun for us to sample.
Yeah, and I had to look this up. It was June 2015 was our podcast episode where I talked about going to the Cavalon Distillery. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes below.
So the exciting part of that is Cavalon, of course, is one of the award-winning Pacific Rim whiskey distilleries. And of course, their whiskey, even when we aren't having tariff issues, is much, much more expensive to get in the United States. In fact, you may not see this at all in your regular liquor dispensaries because it's just not that common despite its award-winning mode. So this time around, I thought it'd be fun to take a little look at this. Yeah. We are sponsored, if you will, by Cavalon.
Sponsored.
Send us whiskey.
By me bringing it back.
And tonight we are sampling Cavalon's single malt whiskey, the four cask matured, aged 15 years, four cask blend. Now, this is an unusual whiskey.
It's unusual for several reasons. One, it's 15 years old.
Which is amazing.
It's amazing because in Taiwan, whiskey matures much faster than it does almost anywhere else in the world because of the temperature swings and humidity and just everything with the way that whiskey is built. The other part is that Cavalon doesn't necessarily do blended whiskeys and sell them.
Yeah, so this one has bourbon, Orloso sherry, Ruby port cask, and Puncheon whiskeys all blended together. Mm-hmm. And the 15 years, of course, is very exciting. If you're listening going, oh, geez, are we going to do a whole episode talking about whiskey? No.
No. But the interesting thing here is that 15 years ago, I was at Computex. That was Computex 2010. And I thought we could go and do a quick little highlight as we're sipping some of this amazing 15-year-old whiskey that is normally not available.
That's right. So as they talk about this whiskey being a journey through time, we will do the same thing this episode. So I hope you like the change.
Well, at least for the first part, and then we can get into what happened this year.
That's right. We'll get back to it. So, stick with us. But 2010, a lot of things have changed since 2010, Dennis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in terms of Computex in general, this was one of the first years or second year that the Nangang Convention Hall was opened. And so before this, everything was at the what they call the World Trade Center, which is right next to Taipei 101. So they had this big building that was not that big, really, but that's where Computex was. So he had really, really small booths, and he had these halls that just had tons of people, and you had to elbow your way through to actually right? get to where you wanted to go. And then it spilled out to three other halls that were down the street. There was technically a little bus, a little shuttle bus that you could get on, and it would take you to the different halls, but or you could walk for 5 minutes and actually get to it.
Yeah, it seems like waiting for that bus, not the right answer.
No, although...
unless it's raining, I guess.
Well, it rains a lot in Taiwan, and when it's not raining, it's like the air is part of the ocean because there's so much humidity there. It's crazy. But what was great is that once they opened up the Nangong Convention Hall, most of those other buildings got shut down. They got closed and everything got moved out there, except for a few holdouts that wanted to stay at the World Trade Center because that was basically front and center. That was where Computex was held and always was held. And so we have a couple of pictures in my coverage from 2010 where if you look at the ceiling, you can tell if it's in the old building or the new building.
Oh, yeah, because that vaulted ceiling is a definite giveaway. It's like a warehouse.
Yeah, it's actually pretty amazing. And you can see how wide the hallways are. There's not a lot of people here. You definitely could not take a picture like that on the World Trade Center show floor because the halls were basically like 6 feet in between all the booths because they were really packed in. And they could not be a very big booth either.
So back in 2010, the show moving... Mm-hmm. But also a lot of differences in the way things were held. But let's talk first about some of the highlights of the technology from 2010, just for fun. Okay. The Wayback Machine, if you will.
Okay, so if we go to G-Skill, G-Skill had, several things on display, mostly DDR3 memory.
Ooh, look at that pretty flare memory. How fast would it go?
It looks like I flared it out here.
2,000 megahertz? Is that what I'm seeing?
DDR3 2000 at CL7.
Very fast. And look at those heat sinks.
But it's a 4 gig kit. Yeah. It's two gig sticks right there. So that's, nowadays we have 32.
Or more. I mean, the 96 kits are starting to get some popularity.
Mm-hmm. And they also, at this time, G-SCO was offering SSDs. They don't necessarily sell those as much as they do or did back then, but we have 120 gigabyte SandForce enabled SSD.
I remember we were all trying to get those, trying to make 30s and 50s work for our boot drives so we could speed them up. The read write speed on that was what attracted my attention the most because it was not fast.
No.
I'll make you guys go look.
And then we have Cooler Master. They had a really weird booth at this time, but they had the pre-mods. So, for instance, this picture right here, I think, is a stacker case, but it's got a four-way SLI built inside.
Oh, my gosh. Four-way SLI. I feel like we should pour one out for our fallen brother.
Oh, yeah. Not of the 15 years.
That's true.
We also have some Storm Mice, one of the original V8 coolers.
Now, I'm looking at it. I think you might be wrong. I think that might be the V6 pre-V8.
Oh, you are right. I stand corrected. This is the V6. But the irony here is that in 2025, Cooler Master is bringing back the V-series coolers, V6 and the V8. So, hey, there we go.
Full circle. They've been sitting in a cask all this time, too.
Yeah. One of the other interesting things about Computex during this era was that Gigabyte, in their grand we are better than everyone approach, is that they had their meeting rooms on the 36th floor of Taipei 101.
It's a heck of a view.
It is. It's awesome. It's a pain in the ass to get to. That was the problem. So even if you were at the World Trade Center, that's still a 20-minute walk to get all the way from the World Trade Center around the thing and then through the building to the other side of Taipei 101 so you could get to the proper elevator and then take it up to the top.
They needed the Gigabyte shuttle.
Yeah, I guess so. The irony of that statement is that my very first Computex or second Computex, I actually saw limos with Gigabyte off the side.
Oh.
To cart around their VIPs.
That's probably for the overclockers, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if they were doing
overclockers. Booth babes.
It was for the important people that gave them a lot of money, I think. But so Gigabyte had motherboards on display, video cards on display, and they also had a display on the show floor.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, which was one of the larger booths right next to the elevator at the World Trade Center. And it was basically, they were showing everything at both locations, but if you wanted, if you were a media person like me, you needed to be at one location so that you could actually talk to your area representative.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's actually kind of fun. Of course, some of the other vendors I saw were Asus, Intel, Chenbro.
I remember them.
Chenbro was fun because they make cases. They make server chassis. They were one of the premier workstation chassis vendors. And the highlight that they had on display in Computex 2010 was custom painted bezels to cover up your chassis when it was in the server rack.
Wow, that's kind of ahead of their time, really. Because custom painted cases were not really a thing back in 2010, except for the extreme custom guys.
Well, yeah, but we also have to think about this is enterprise grade. It's going to sit in a server rack somewhere and probably be forgotten.
Well, at least you'd be able to find it very quickly.
Oh, that's true. We also have some contests and other things that were happening at Computex. And for instance, I pulled up on day three, there was a overclocking competition. That was sponsored by EVGA mostly, but this was when we had Vince and Shimino at the same place.
Very cool.
And the irony here is that the picture I took was of a guy in a green shirt from Pocatello, Idaho, visiting Computex. And he got up on stage with Vince to go and do a LN2 pour challenge. So if you could make it through that particular benchmark by pouring, it had to be within like 3 or 5 degrees. You would win a prize.
Wow. Did we ever find out who that guy was?
No.
So if you're out there, Pocatello guy, let us know. We'll give you credit.
And it was actually kind of a fun little excursion. They were doing, what was it, 980X, I think. So that was the popular processor back then.
There you go.
You want to look
3D Mark 2006, it says.
Yeah. And then see, Inno3D, Triplex, there was some fancy video card vendors that are really no longer around. But we have the iChill Black Series from Inno3D.
Oh, that's kind of cool looking.
Yeah, it was like the very beginning of water-cooled video cards that you could get from a manufacturer.
Yeah, might have to track one of those down, see how it holds up. Might be hard to find.
Yeah, I think so. But we also had, let's see, Landly, Noctua. Oh, I was looking at the Noctua booth. Never changed. I mean, they still have the same color, same logo, same shelving. Well, same style of shelving.
There you go. My guess is they built one and they're making it last. Dusting it off for the show season.
Something like that. And OCZ, you remember that company?
Oh my gosh, OCZ. Now that is a name I haven't heard in forever.
Yeah, they were, if I remember correctly, they were held up in a hotel suite, which was at the Grand Hyatt, right next to the World Trade Center. So you just ride an elevator up and find the floor you're on and you go through and see stuff. We had two PCI Express-based storage solutions, one with flash NAND, so it was like an SSD. And then they had one that was using SODIMM memory.
That's pretty crazy.
So that's like one of those memory offload fast storage systems.
I always thought OCZ was just rebranding their memory from Micron or Hynix or something. Did we ever? I guess nobody probably knows. But their stuff was fast.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. But yeah, their thing was they overclocked everything. And they had some pretty amazing parties that were questionable whether or not you should really attend. But I kind of wish they were still around, but I think they got purchased by Lenovo or something.
Yeah, whatever happened to OCZ? We'll save that for another episode.
Yeah. All right. And so the last page, this is Computex 2000, day one. Oh, I had a Booth Babe episode, which we won't necessarily need to go through.
You know, as sad as it is, I do kind of miss the Booth Babe era. Uh-huh. The show of it, the whole Vanna White action.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that it's kind of an obsolete thing, but it was part of the charm.
It was. It was the draw. Although, admittedly, I talked to a lot of my vendor friends during Computex, and the problem that they had is that they would hire these models, and the models would get paid pretty well, right?
Oh, yeah.
But they're models, and they would work with their modeling agency, and that agency would go and get their photographers to come in and take pictures of them at the show.
Oh, yeah. Okay, add it to the book of business.
that started a trend where they would just get a whole bunch of photographers to come in and they would just follow each other around. And the people that were working the booth would call them the creepy guys. Because they would get like this camera right up in their face, like 6 inches away to take a picture. And then they would have three people holding lights to make sure everything was lit appropriately. Weird.
Well, we did see that, several years later when the YouTubers would start to show up and they'd have their entourage. It was kind of a similar experience.
Oh, that was even worse, really, because you would get their entourage going and blocking people to make sure that they were out of the shot.
Yeah, yeah.
At least with the creepy guys, they just had so many people around you couldn't get through.
How things have changed.
Yeah. But I will link Computex 2010 in the show notes below so you can check it out and take a trip down memory lane and say if you can identify something or not.
That's right. And all of this happened the same year that this whiskey was
put in a barrel.
Put in a barrel for the first time.
Which was pretty awesome.
So I think we'll raise one real quick as a toast to Computex.
Yay.
Long gone. For our 2025 coverage, I think in the interest of expediency, why don't we go in alphabetical order this year? That'll be different.
Yes, it will be different, and it will go along with the fact that I haven't prepared all of the articles yet. And
jet lag.
Yeah, jet lag. Ironically, for Computex 2010 and some of my older episodes, they were all by day. So it would be like, hey, I saw G-Scale, and there'd be like three pictures and then a bunch of text about G-Scale. And then as I've matured, I've started to take more pictures and have a little bit more detail.
Well, and we've become a little more discerning, right? You just don't take a picture of anything.
No, not so much.
So let's start at the top here.
We have Be Quiet.
Ooh, good old Be Quiet. Ooh.
They had the Be Quiet base is what I'm going to call it. It's basically kind of a, hey, we're thinking about doing this because one of our dark cases, you can rotate it any way you want, except for one direction.
Oh.
Which was on the back of the I.O.
Okay, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, so this lifts the case up so that the I.O. can go straight down, and then you can position it any way you want.
So I'm looking at the picture here, and I'm seeing bespoke wood stand.
Yes, we have a wooden stand. We also have kind of some actual wood here that makes it into a nice little, Japanese-style tray.
Well, it's kind of fancy. It adds a layer of sophistication to the windowed cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this was really just more of a, hey, well, what do you think? And I'm like, I think it's a problem that didn't need a solution.
Yeah.
But some people might like it.
They look good.
Yeah. Well, and
I don't know how many people are displaying their PCs anymore like they used to back in the home theater PC era. Mm. Right. So your PC might be on your desk, but more than likely it's on the floor or on a shelf. And if it is on your desk, it's likely sitting with its window out.
Yep. Or maybe you have that NUC that you bought at CES 2025 and it's just tucked back behind somewhere next to of your Harry Potter books.
That's right. A little duct tape will put that thing anywhere.
Yeah. We also had I talked about in the coverage is the keyboards. So we have here the Dark Mount.
Ooh. Now, I'm looking at this thing and of course, all the new keyboards seem to have screens on them. So I'm just going to acknowledge that it has a cool screen at the top, but most interesting is it has a removable 10 key that I'm guessing can be mounted left side and right side.
Yes. So they have a 10 key that makes this keyboard 10 key less, but you can add the 10 key to it. And you also have some programmable media buttons on the top, which can double for something like the Elgato Stream Deck.
Oh, or it could be macros.
Macros. Yeah. And in the coverage, I talked about how you can make it do things during your stream, or you could have it open up Excel.
I like the idea of it, and it's nice with the ground effects lighting that they've got on those units. Very pretty.
Well, and the way that this keyboard is constructed, it has multiple layers of padding and reinforcement to make it silent.
Very nice.
And they're also using their own Be Quiet keys, which are ironically in orange and black.
Well, it makes sense.
And then this media deck that you saw at the top, it's also repositionable, so you can put it anywhere across the top.
That's really slick.
Yeah, it's just I think it's a USB connection. You just unplug it.
Well, a little more customization. I like that left-hand, right-hand thing.
Yep.
So if you are used to using a gamepad, for example, for your gaming, or one of those, keyboard commanders, you can use that in exchange.
Well, yeah, or you can just use it to play your movies.
True.
So they also had a couple of mice, and these are ultralight mice. I mean, ultralight, like they do not weigh anything at all. The cable weighs more than these things do. But they have an ergonomic version for right-handers, and they also have an ambidextrous version for left-handers.
Of course, the cord's black and orange, and they actually look pretty sexy.
All right, moving on, we have Aorus. And Aorus was basically, Aorus/Gigabyte,
right,
basically doubling down on their AI top software offerings and hardware offerings. And we have here the RTX 5090 AI box. And it's basically an external GPU that you can plug into any computer with Thunderbolt and add AI capability, add gaming capability, all with this onboard GPU and an external enclosure.
Now I'm catching on, right? So it's not really designed to just be an AI processor, but it's a portable gaming box for video all in one.
Yeah.
Clever. Well, I guess that makes use of the fact that video cards are being used so much for AI.
Oh yeah, definitely. And it's not the first time that we've seen an external GPU. The difference here is that it has a bunch of really fancy stuff built into it to help with offloading a lot of the processing that needs to happen.
Well, I like the picture that you took there. Shows how you can use a portable workstation laptop and turn it into a gaming or AI powerhouse.
Yep. And we also have upgrades to their AI top software. This is the software that you can use to train LLMs, which combined with their offloading SSD and some other stuff to allow you to train big models on your AI top hardware, which has been specially designed for AI processing.
Very interesting. I know we're going to see a lot more AI as we go through this.
Oh, yeah. Well, and ironically enough, Computex was split into two factions, so to speak. So there's two facilities at Nangong. There's Building 1 and Building 2. Building 1 was dedicated to hardware vendors and manufacturers that had AI components in their portfolio.
Right.
And everybody at Building 2 had not.
Okay.
So it's like,
it'd be interesting to see how that balance changes next year.
Yeah. Well, now they know the formula. Oh, we have the ICE motherboards. So this is their pure white line. They call it ICE.
Beautiful.
This is also the, what is this? The X870E RS Master X3D ICE, which is basically, you know, a perfect gaming computer built on the AMD platform. Very popular. We have the ICE Pro, which is a mini ITX motherboard, also extremely popular, mostly with people that don't want to have a really big system.
I see that we're continuing the trend of hiding the non-essential hardware under some plates.
Yes, they have, everything has a plate to cover it. It's an infectious disease, I think. And then we also have Project Stealth, which is the Gigabyte's version of the BTF. Basically, we're going to put all the cables behind stuff. And they had on display several really popular cases using white and their ICE motherboards, showing that you can hide all the cables and make everything look pretty.
I think white's making a comeback, Dennis.
You think?
I think so.
I think you're right. And I had to take a picture of this one. This is the Tachyon. The Tachyon is the overclocker-enabled motherboard from Gigabyte Aorus.
Oh, okay.
Basically, this is a kind of a reimagining of the EVGA Dark.
Yeah. Now, that is a name we haven't heard in a while. Mm-hmm. I'm also intrigued by the video card in there. I see they've got the GeForce RTX. I'm assuming it's a 50 series, but it looks like it's got an OLED screen on it.
Yeah, and there wasn't a lot of information about this particular graphics card, but it's a monster. I think it's a 5090.
We'll have to keep an eye out for that because it looks slick, especially in the black and white.
A lot of the pictures that I've taken were just kind of, oh, hey, this is a cool board. But
no, you do like your motherboards.
Yeah. But the part that I need to also preface is that there wasn't a whole lot of new hardware on display. So when something new comes along, I'll, hey, this was new.
Well, it's interesting when we take a lot of pictures just because of new chipsets, it kind of tells you where we're at as an industry.
Yep.
We haven't had a major disruptor. Well, since maybe M.2 drives or RTX.
Yeah, or the death of SLI.
Yeah, that.
this last board, I think, this last board is the X870E RS Extreme AI Top. This is the AI-enabled version for the AMD side, which was not shown at CES. It is a bit of a monster. You can see that we have two graphics card slots here that have the reinforced armor on them.
Oh, yeah.
So this board will support dual GPU.
Now, I might be mistaken from the lighting, but that looks like a black and gold color scheme.
It's deceptive.
Oh, no.
So what you're seeing right here is the reflection of the crazy chandelier that was behind me.
Ah, yeah, that's an interesting light effect.
Yeah, everything else was basically that black mirrored look, making it really difficult to photograph, even if you're in a perfect environment.
Well, you know that's going to look good in a case with some good RGB.
Oh, it, well, and it backlights too. So when you fire it up, it's got lights in there.
Very nice.
And then also we have the Z890 RS Extreme AI Top. This one's interesting because this mirrored screen in the upper left is actually an OLED.
Very nice. And it's in an interesting place.
And to the right, we have memory cooler, which is ironic because none of the other boards have memory coolers.
That's a giant memory cooler. And it's interesting that it's installed from the factory in the motherboard. Is it fans? It's got to be fans.
Yeah, there's a couple of fans in there. And you, of course, you can remove it to install your memory. But it, in effect, covers everything that you could possibly see.
I see that.
Including the expansion slots down at the bottom. There's only one that's exposed to a graphics card.
Pretty soon we'll have ARGB memory fans. I can feel it.
Oh, I think they might already be out there.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so we're moving to InWin. This is InWin's 40th anniversary.
Wow.
Yeah, they're celebrating their 40th.
Congratulations, guys.
And with that, they have the Chromancy, or Chromancer, Chromancier. Anyhow, it's a pretty awesome tall case. It's like 5 feet tall.
So it looks like a, is it a column, like round?
Yeah, it's a column. And it's sitting on an aluminum base that has the sand casting marks in it. So it's been
nice.
Hand cast. But the cool thing about this is at the very top is this acrylic sheet that kind of wraps around. And embossed in it is the popular InWin cases from the past 40 years.
Well, that's a nice callback.
Yeah, and including a couple of them that I've modified myself over the years.
I like the 40-year anniversary of branding, too. That's pretty slick.
Yeah. The nice thing, or I should say not nice thing, but the fancy thing about this case is that it was controlled by a wand.
Oh, okay.
So it was kind of funny. The some of the girls that were showing this case off to other people were trying to do their best Harry Potter impressions and not doing a very good job.
Case attractee. Yeah.
But then they would wave the wand and it might open up the door or it might change the lighting effects. So that was the fancy gimmick that they added to it.
I think Chronomancy is what I'm seeing there. So yep. It is the magic that controls time. Interesting with our theme this episode.
With the 40 year anniversary and everything. It was a really interesting case. It's one of those that they InWin has always released a unicorn chassis as right. Part of every Computex. And one year it was like the H frame and then the S frame, which I have one in the corner over there that it's a monster. And then this one, and then they did one year that was all 3D printed. But it's the one arts piece that they add as an attraction to their booth.
Yeah. But if they do well, they market them, but they're very expensive. That reminds me of the Lian Li unicorn cases of yesteryear.
Well, and these ones, you know, they might sell it to an executive who'll put it in their lobby or something. Like right. That, you know, just to kind of show off. And we have a couple of other cases. They had a workstation chassis. This one supports dual GPUs.
Nice.
AI enabled, basically. So, mm-hmm. Well, not dual. This one supports dual power supplies to support 4 GPUs.
Okay, now slow down because I think I've had an epiphany.
Okay.
SLI gone.
Uh-huh.
Down to single video cards.
Yep.
Now AI bringing back dual video cards.
And 4 video cards.
And quad video card setups. Mm-hmm. We've gone full circle.
We have. That was one thing that I kind of chuckled about when AI Top was released last year at Computex is that, oh, hey, we got 4-way SLI again. Look at that. Isn't that great?
Well, we just needed AI to make it happen. So you don't like AI, we can at least thank them for bringing back multi-video card builds.
Yep. Well, and a couple of the cases that InWin that I took interest in were, ironically, workstation and server chassis. So we had the workstation that had dual GPU support. We have this one, which is a little square box.
Yeah, the Cube.
Supports micro ATX motherboards and GPU support, so you can add AI to your storage machine.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So this one has options 5 1/4 external bays that can be combined to support multi-hot swap drive bays.
Ooh, now that's a pretty case.
And this one is called the Prism. And it's basically multi-glass panels, faceted panels that are kind of put together to give you a different view inside your corner office chassis.
Well, I like the way that they've moved the glass around the corners and into the front as well. Mm-hmm. I can see the facet angle of it, but it's nice to see somebody doing something that breaks those hard edges of a typical case.
Yeah, and still allows you to have good cooling.
Yeah, it's a good-looking case. Yeah. I'd build in that.
Yeah. And you know, I was just looking at the time, and I think we might have to cut this into a part two. But if you're interested in what we're going to be discussing, we have MSI.
Ooh.
We have ROG.
That's a big one.
And we also have Silverstone. You got to tune in for Silverstone. That one's going to be awesome. We have some Team Group overclocking, high-capacity memory. We have Thermal Take, which has an amazing take on LCD screens for your PC and everything.
Very nice.
So stay tuned for part two and more Kavalong. For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS or subscribe to us on YouTube. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2025. Thanks for listening.